Just off a narrow neighborhood road in Stonewood, West Virginia, is a small brick store with a sign called Loomy Lady Hand Wovens. Inside, Jane Gilchrist shows me her weaving workshop.
This is pot holders. I've got mug rugs on these three looms. This loom is a Hammett loom. It's called a school loom. This is called a tri-loom. So basically, it's a triangle.
Jane's been pursuing the art of weaving for almost two decades, but it only recently became her main source of income. When she weaves, she sits on a sheepskin-covered bench facing the loom. She wears a green top patterned with teal petunia petals. Her nails are painted a rouge pink. Tall shelves that almost touch the ceiling are filled with colorful yarns. A hand-woven baby blue coverlet blanket with little white flowers is on display. In the corner are some of Jane's pot holders and scarves for sale.
So this is the overshot pot holder. I'm doing this in a real pretty earthy green with a natural warp.
This small shop is also Jane's space for creating. In the center of the room, there are three wooden looms and one table loom hanging on the wall. They're all no bigger than a desk, and each loom holds a different project. Several looms even sit folded up in the corner.
And when I pass it over, as I step on the treadle, based upon the way I've threaded this loom, on which of the shafts or harnesses raise up.
Now, that might have sounded like a foreign language. Essentially, she's describing how she's threading the colored yarn through a base of tightly strung yarn to create a pattern. So when she steps on a treadle, a layer of the tightly strung yarn lifts up, allowing her to thread the colored yarn through, which with enough threading creates a tightly woven item, like a pot holder. Jane grew up in Ohio with eight other siblings and not a lot of money.
I was the next to the youngest, and I just always kind of felt like I was lost. I was the little fat kid without a lot of friends and middle of nowhere living on a farm, and I was pretty lonely.
But she made friends with a woman who was quadriplegic, although she had some use of her arms. This woman introduced Jane to weaving.
So she had a big rug loom, and she made rugs, and I sat next to her, and I got introduced to weaving. I always knew someday I wanted to be a weaver. That just felt right to me.
It feels right because it's her happy place. Jane says it's a repetitive motion that's relaxing while still requiring focus.
I don't have time to sit and think about what is or isn't, or the good or the bad, and dwell on things I can't change or I can't control.
She later learned that weaving was also part of her family's history. She has record that her great-great-grandfather used weaving as a source of income during the long, cold West Virginian winters. Jane says weaving was essential in the early settler days in Appalachia, as it helped create cloth for clothing and blankets, items that weren't yet available in the rural region. But as clothing became more available during the Industrial Revolution, weaving became a lost art.
It went from being an essential that you have to do this to being a hobby.
So Jane does her part to help keep an Appalachian tradition alive.
And when I sit down at one of those looms and I start creating a piece of cloth, I feel connected to the place of my ancestors. I feel connected to the people that have come before.
Over the years, Jane has become a reputable weaver. She's part of the Tamarack Foundation, an organization for professional artists that's not easy to get into. She's able to sell some of her products, like the pot holders, through Tamarack. She also has her master's in education, so she's developed several weaving tutorials for classroom settings. In fact, about 60% of her income is from teaching weaving. But her biggest claim to fame is something she calls
mug rug in it.
That's mug rug in it, as in a rug for your coffee mug. Get it? Jane teaches mug rug in as an informal class at several West Virginian art festivals and fairs, where people can weave a rug for their mugs. It's a spin-off of a traditional Appalachian rag rug, just downsized. Over the past 5 years, Jane estimates 3,000 people have been through the Mug Rug In It program.
I hope someday when I'm old and decrepit and I'm walking down through a craft show or a flea market, or I'm out somewhere and I see somebody who's got their wares for sale, and I say to them, "Where'd you learn to weave? What'd you do this?" And they say, "Oh, well, back in, I went to the Vandalia Festival, and there were these people that came by, and they set up these looms, and I did this thing called mug rugging it, and I fell in love with weaving.
Jane tries to keep her weaving as traditional as possible. She's even learned to dye her own yarn as well as spin her own wool, which she's dedicated a decent amount of her living space to. With a full-on yarn dyeing station set up near the laundry room and a wool spinner near the TV. The art of weaving is her life. Some people might caution turning a hobby into a livelihood, but it's not work for her. Jane says she knows she's never going to get rich off it either, but that's okay.
But if I can make the world more creative and they understand our heritage as we get further and further away from those existence days, if they have a better understanding of it because I can share that with them, I'll think I've done something pretty special.
Jane says weaving as a profession in Appalachia has its challenges, as it's such a large region with many rural stretches. Other weavers, as well as some of her own customers, are at least an hour drive away. But she says she wouldn't have it any other way, as she's Appalachian through and through and couldn't imagine weaving anywhere else. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Caitlin Tan in Harrison County, West Virginia.